Blog Talk Radio.
We would like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. As your host, Lee Robinson, we will continue a second part series to the issue of why are we sending our children to the criminal justice system from the cradle to imprisonment. And we will continue this discussion with our guest, Brother Emmanuel, out of North Carolina. And we would also like to have you to call in and to give your opinion, views on the subject matter as we further discuss this particular phenomenon, from the cradle to the prison pipeline. Why are we sending our children to the criminal justice system? Based upon our last program, the first part, there were some issues and statistics that Brother Emmanuel shared with us. And you're going to do a little quick summary, and then I'll bring him in, and he will follow up on his presentation on the subject. Last time we met, Mr. Brother Emmanuel stated that over 1.6 million people who are incarcerated, 38% of them are African youth. They range from the ages of African youth 30 to 45, of African people, or blacks in general, but for the youth between the ages of 13 to 18. He also stated the question of 13%. We are a population of 13%, but yet 39% of the people who are incarcerated, they are African Americans. He also stated that 85% of the people who comes out, they have a likelihood of going back in as relates to the African youth. Only 35% are going back in. He raised the issue that we thought was very important and we'd like to further explore that, is that the cost to incarcerate or keep a person in prison is $95,000 a year, whereas private industry is only $65,000 a year. And when we talk about the private industries, we also talk about who owned those private industries, who are investing into these institutions. And we found out a lot of judges and lawyers are owners of these private industries. These are just some of the key data that Brother Emmanuel shared with us last week. We will now bring Brother Emmanuel in, and we'd like for him to continue to share his opinion on this particular issue, from the cradle to the prison pipeline. And we will open up the phone line shortly because we would like to get our listeners a chance to give their perspective on the issue. And right now, Brother Emmanuel, welcome again. Would you continue to elaborate or raise some of the issues or concerns that you think our people need to know about this whole phenomenon dealing with the young kids who come out being born from the cradle and heading straight to the pipelines of the prisons? Go ahead, Brother Emmanuel.
Good afternoon, Mr. Robinson. How are you doing today?
Good.
Yeah, we're going to go back and Mr. Robinson gave you a brief summary of some of the statistics I pointed out last time. And about the disparities and the private enterprise who owns them, basically, and how many prisons are being built today. Interesting stat was in the fifth grade, that's when they start counting beds, how many prisons they're going to build, and beds they're going to put in these prisons, the fifth grade when they start. And that's an alarming stat, that your child or your youth is on your way to prison. 85% of them will have something dealing with the police, some type of way. And again, the sentencing was very disparate, where I told you before, that a African-American gets 7.5 years for the same crime that a European-American gets for the same crime. 7.5 years along with sentencing. Well, you want to wonder why this sentence is longer. Because there's a workforce in the prison. Interesting stat, in Cuba, the prisons make furniture for IKEA, the Swedish furniture company. that's quite alarming. And some of the people get, you know, might have to get paid 30 cents to $1 an hour for work. And we call work release programs. And they work and they make furniture also. They make clothing, license plates, signs for the roads. Of course, they have the outside workforce that keep the landscaping of the highways. You've probably seen these. And again, it's a workforce, very cheap workforce. And again, Mr. Robinson noted that who owns these are basically wardens, ex-wardens, mainly ex-wardens, who has retired, and people, of course, who work for the prison justice system in a capacity, executive capacity. And some of the attorneys and the lawyers and big law firms, they own these places. And chief of police, they own these places. They invest in these places. Where they're building them at in three of the larger states, Florida, Texas, and California. But very interesting that on the reentry program, it's very difficult. I was doing a case study on that. So difficult to get employment when you have a criminal record. And they make it like this. So you know you're going to return. You have to come back or commit another crime. So my thing is that we got to come with solutions. Our next program, so next week, we're going to start with solutions. Things that, and, you know, put your pen and pencil. I'm asking you guys when you call in. Next week, I mean, week after next, we're going to talk about the solutions and come up with some very good solutions. I have solutions myself how to get us out of this troublesome area, and especially for the reentry program. What we need to do to make sure they get back into the workforce. And that's one of the most difficult things, to get back into the workforce. Also, some states, there's a felony, you know, you cannot vote. So all this is orchestrated. It's an orchestrated type of thing. And, of course, it'll affect the African-American youth the most. I call it the second of the peculiar institution. Slavery was the first peculiar institution. This is the second. This is a very peculiar institution. And look at its population, why it's happening like this. Of course, and why they come back, and the reasons they come back again, because they can't find employment. Very difficult. Therefore, once they give them the application, have you been convicted of a crime? You got to hit yes or no. And with sophisticated technology today, they can find out exactly what's going on with you. And there's a place for a second or a third chance. So we got to look at second chance and take a look at that and how we get gainful employment. So, again, over 1.6 million people in prisons. We're not talking about the juvenile. We're talking about the adult prisons, basically. We're not talking about the juvenile areas where they send us juvenile detention areas. But these are the things we've got to be concerned with about our American youth. All of our youth, and especially our African-American youth, I'm putting emphasis on here because, again, our population is only 13% of the country, which is about 39 million. And about 7% of these are under 18 years of age. And these are ones they're targeting for any little incident to get them in their prison system and to keep it up and make sure they return some type of way or they become a lineup figure at all given time and some things happen. And it's called a loose lineup, but they got the picture, they got fingerprints, they pick your kid up to go into a lineup. So look at some of the things that affect people around your family and so just take a look and see what they do. How they got, because we talked about the prosecution type way we give in to prosecutors because there's so many different charges, five or six charges they give. If they say, we'll drop four if you plead, you know, no contest to this, you get rid of the criminal record at all given times. So again, you get into the criminal file, then of course you become a person of interest all the time when something is happening out there. So now I'm going to give you guys a chance to call in and answer some of your questions or you have any type of reference to what I'm talking about. If you had a youth that went to prison or a child that went to prison, come back and tell you what happened in there or went to the adult jail or whatever. But again, I'm calling this a peculiar institution. number two.
Okay, but we're going to open up our lines about in 2 minutes. We see our phone lines lit up, and we're going to be going to our viewers in a few minutes. But I have one more issue I'd like to raise with you, Brother Emmanuel. We also talk a little bit about the phenomenon that the large incarceration process has now seemed like it's swinging over to the women. They're locking up a lot of African women. And by the process of locking up the African women, it makes the youth even more vulnerable and likely to come and approach them. So can you speak to this question of, you know, the impact of, what kind of impact you think we have now when since they are locking up more African women in relationship to the youth? Because we definitely, if the women are locked up, there's definitely no one there at the home to give our kids the guidance, which will likely create conditions where they will maybe go out and do irresponsible acts.
Well, the thing on that, you have to look at the root cause of African-American women, not African women, but African-American women. What goes on with that is the same thing. It's to break up the family. They broke up the family during slavery. Again, they break up the family now. When they break up the family and the youth is there, then, of course, they could incarcerate the woman. And now the youth is out there. And they'd have a better chance to get it because the child is, you know, stay with the grandmother or they staying with their daughter or someone else because they took the African-American woman away from the home. African-American women get 5 years, again, disparity, 5 years longer for the prison sentence, the same as a white person get or a European-American gets 5 years for the same crime. Now we got the same, again, the workforce. I visited two enterprises. And they were making uniforms. I could identify who was making them for them, but they were making uniforms. All she said was they were making uniforms. Now, who the uniforms are for, probably for, you know, by being guesses, police department or fire department, or this or that. They're making uniforms. I'm like, wow. But so those kind of, again, you're breaking up the family. We got the African male. Now, you know, I mean, how do we get the African female? The same thing. Longer sentencing, they're going to return back. They have no money, come back out. They got a criminal record, can't get a job, single family mother, got two young boys. They know they're going to get these boys some type of way because the child has no parents. So the thing was, an unparent, you know, the African-American family as much as they possibly can. And again, a youth they target in the fifth grade, they target this particular youth. And again, they're doing a single mother or a married mother, whatever. But they got a better chance if the single mother has two boys or two female women, whatever, and the same thing happens. So this is what the root cause is. This is how they're doing it. There are 25 think tanks that study Black America, and there are 5 think tanks that study basically the criminal justice system of those 25 think tanks they got. They study how we spend money and things they do, how them with this, what they do. But they have cornered this particular market. With the black female, the same thing. As soon as she gets single, she got to work 2 jobs. The child is out there by itself. They know this.
Okay.
And again, that gets with a gang or somebody going to love them because they don't have parents around, don't have the mother around them again. And how much can the grandmother do sometimes? Can't control the teenager that much.
Okay.
So this is with the women.
We have our line lit up. We can go to our first callers. But when we go to our callers, we want to remind them that to be conscious of being courteous so other folks can get our views and perspectives on the subject of from the cradle to the prison pipeline, from the cradle to the prison pipeline. Why are we sending our children to this criminal justice system? We're going to our first caller, and for those who like to call in, remember, you can dial 818-337-0016. Our lines are open. 818-337-0016. Call in to Mr. Pages of History and give your perspective. Okay, let's go to call 9435. We're going to call you 9435. Your last 4 numbers on your phone number will be identified. That will be our caller. Okay, call 9435. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment, please. Caller, 9435. The question, call me, please. Hello? Okay, we're going to put our caller on hold, see, and come back to him. Let's go to caller number 8488. We're going to call her 8488. Caller, welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question, calling, please.
Peace. This is Mikhail in Philadelphia. Very interesting discussion. I called last week. Got a chance to ask a question then. And this week, I'm just going to mention that with the African-American experience in this country, slavery since 1619, emancipation in 1865, what has been happening since that Emancipation Proclamation? Have we really been freed, or have we been caught up in some kind of series of impediments, whether it's chain gangs, sharecropping, or after you move to the big cities and so on and so forth, we've been, it seems almost as if we've been targeted. Are we a target? And if we are a target, why do you think that is?
Well, the answer to that is that, again, from slavery to the, there were different components of slavery, of course, after slavery, there's aftermath. After slavery was Jim Crow, discrimination, segregation, all these is lumped in. And again, all these things are extensions. What European Americans think today is that, why are we paying? Slavery didn't cost them a dime. That's how they got where they got. We did the hard work. They say working hard is supposed to pay off. Well, working hard didn't pay off for them. Pay off for someone else. And again, affirmative action applies to them, not to us. They had affirmative action over 400 odd years. And again, all these impediments are there because there are 26 think tanks that study Black America. 26. There's not one think tank that studies, you know, European America. So when you take a look at that, and the thing is that we're gonna create these manual task jobs. We're gonna create these a minimum wage, so they make sure we don't get into the economic system like they have got into the economic system. So we're always going to be that way. We spend $970 billion a year, and we recycle only $50 billion. So the segregation thing, integration thing, was we're going to integrate. We're not going to integrate the money. And that's what is going on. They're not integrating the money. The average white, when they basically die, leave $135,000 when they die, basically. African-American, less than $6,000. What a disparity that is. Talking about disparity, that's what a gap that is. We got to close these gaps. And that's what this is. All this stuff is extension of police brutality from slavery. Especially not paying you any money, you won't get into the economic base. Everything is extension of slavery. And they're going to keep it this way. They're going to keep it this way because, again, the profit margin for America is African Americans. They don't make any money if we don't bring that money to them. We are the profit of America. All our money basically goes back into the economic base, regardless of where they get it from. So again, all these things we're just talking about earlier, these are the impediments they put in place. There are 26 think tanks that keep these things in place to make sure we fill the prison system up, we fill their hospitals up, you know, we disease bearing to a certain degree, they create these diseases for us, create all of this stuff. From blood pressure down, all this stuff is created. Make sure we don't get nutritional food in our schools, this type of thing. So all these things here make sure that we stay in our place, basically, that there's a place to stay in. We're Americans, same as they are. Everybody are immigrants. This country belongs to, you know, to Cochise and Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull, but the country belongs to them. The country got stolen. Well, look how it was stolen. We're trying to participate in this same, you know, involves some of the immoral issues that comes up. So you take a look at the Indians don't have their oil in Oklahoma. That's where they were. They took it from them and moved into the reservation. They took all the oil in Texas, whatever. You know, they did all that, took it from the Hispanics in Texas, California. They own those land. But look what happened. So they're not impediments of those things. We are. The Indians would not work. That's why they brought slaves here. And I always say it again. If you work so hard, why did you need slaves? If you're such a hard worker, you didn't need no slaves. Who did the work? We did the work. They want to call you lazy, and you did all the work. So, again, that's the extension. They're the one lazy, not us. We were slaves. Slaves aren't lazy. So, again, you know, the thing where they put us in housing, they split the family up, all these things happen. And again, what's the last resort? It's prison. We still going to use them some type of way and pay them hardly nothing and get labor out of them. Capitalism depends on a cheap labor force. So again, ask your question, Mike, is that this? All these impediments are all there. I can give you 50 of these, the things they do to make sure that you make sure you bring their money to them. Again, this is a part of Willie Lynch letter. This is part of that. Hope I answered your question.
We're going to go to that next caller. We're going to put that call on hold. Going to the next caller. Caller 4832. Caller 4832. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I actually used to work for the prison, and I was the cost accountant for the prison. I put in the cost accounting system and added the labor and the materials and so forth to come up with what the product would cost. The prison made desks and uniforms and license plates and a number of other things. But having said that, the main thing that I want to say about, you know, I call them Negroes because I do not like calling them African-Americans because our president is an African-American. He never probably spent a good 5 years in America. So I don't want to call them African-Americans, but Negroes. But the problem with the Negroes is that we have no leadership. We have no leadership. We have nobody to truly help us get to where we need to go. The ones that they have been sanctioned off, bought off, and are called the Boule and a number of other, the talented tenth. They separate themselves from us by calling themselves the talented tenth. And so they're so talented that they work with people who work against us. So we have a huge problem in the leadership. If we had good leadership, we could make some changes. And so I urge every person who is thinking about their families, if you care enough about your family, run for office, run for political office, and don't take any bribes. Do what's right by the people in your particular city. And also, just wanted to make a statement here that as a elected official myself, I found out that the city that I live in, which is Richmond, Virginia, is actually planning to have by the year 2020, now this was in 1989 they started this, but by the year 2020, they want to have what they call people moving, black people especially, moving out of the city so that this city can be run and ruled. It's the capital of the Confederacy, you see. So they want this ruled by the people who they think ought to run it, which is the very well-to-do whites and the Boule. And so everybody else will be living out. And then we'll have to have a ticket that says we can get back in the city and we can only come in here if we come in here to work. Now, that's sort of like prison because you don't get any say-so about where you stay. And they say that you, the reason you have to stay out, they won't call it the fact that you're black. They're saying it's because you cannot vote. You are non-voter. So how do you get people to be non-voters? You do that by putting them in prison for felonies, okay? And if you're in prison for a felony, you when you get out, instead of getting your rights right back, which is what you should what should happen, they decide that you cannot vote at all. So they've made up these rules. But now, listen, people, they're making a number, so many things felonies. If you don't have a lawyer, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to talk your way out of the situation. You get some old attorney that they give to you simply because, you know, they're there and they can pay them $25,000 a year. Then you don't have good representation. You're going to jail. It's not that you're innocent or guilty. It's just because you don't have good representation. You don't know what to do. So now they're starting a debtor's prison. Have you guys heard about this?
Oh, what kind of prison?
That's
called.
a debtor's prison. If you can't pay your bills, they just put you in jail.
Oh, poor, that's a crime. They're criminalizing the poor. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. There. Exactly. So now they've got a whole bunch of people, just heard, some plan that the president is with. That's why I say I don't care who he is, he's not of us. He didn't live with us. He doesn't know us. He doesn't understand what it's like to be here in America and have all these things happen to you. But
Nicole,
he has a...
Let me stop you right here. We're going to put you on hold. We got one more caller. We're going to get in and let that caller state their views and comment. And what time we have left, we'll come back to you, okay?
Okay.
Be hold, please. Let's go to our next caller. Caller, you're on the line. We have caller 9435. Call 9435. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. You're on. Call 9435. Your question or comment, please. Okay, I guess my caller don't want to say nothing. So what we're going to do is, Mr. Joyner, based upon some of the comments you have heard, will you speak to those comments? And what time we have left, we'd like to share with our audience that if we run over a little bit and you cannot hear the remainder of the program, we encourage you to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/ and type in Missing Pages or History. We'd like to also remind you that every bi-weekly on Saturdays, you can listen to Missing Pages of History at the same time, same station. Our next program will be April the 13th, 12 noon. If you'd like to support us or get in contact with us, you can contact us by email, us at missingpagesorhistory1@yahoo.com, or you're welcome to call us at 804-519-0347. To 804-519-0347, or you can email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. Again, we may go over a little bit, so if we go over a little bit and you want to continue to hear this program, just go and check out our archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/missingpagesofhistory. So, Mr. Joyner, we're going back to Mr. Joyner, and we'd like for you to just respond to some of the things you just recently heard from our callers. Mr. Joyner, your stage.
Well, the thing is that we went into a lot of subjects there. When the person called, my daughter works in prison system 31 years as a warden. All the wardens now report to her. So I get a lot of information from him, a lot of whole lot, because, of course, you don't sell a lot of stuff with. I've been through the prison system a lot with her for the 31 years she's been there. But she's very, and she's been a warden in Texas. She's been one in New York, South Carolina, Alabama. And again, that's why I get a lot of information for got me into the system, because she headed up the system, basically. One of the top 10 in the country, 31 years. She's retiring next year, January. Worked for the federal prison. Now, you call them, it's called them all about states, what states do. He has no control over the states. The president, he do identify himself as African-American. I don't get the word Negro. Negro is a Spanish term for Spanish people. It's not us. Look what happened in Richmond compared to Chicago is a totally different outset. He worked in Chicago in the grassroots. He knows a lot about this, what goes on here. But again, he got to serve all of the people. So state rights are coming in because Republicans are bringing this stuff, this crazy stuff in. Now this stuff is not going to happen. On the felony thing, they do some states you can vote, some states you can't. This is a legislative issue again. You can vote in North Carolina if you've been to prison. Again, you don't pay your sentence and everything else. You come out, you get your rights back. A lot of states don't do that. There's some nations on the table now in some states. Again, because they lose the election, Republicans are not going in again. You know, people know what's going on. And, of course, the demographics are changing a lot. And, again, we have leadership. But, again, if you don't own anything, that's a big deal. Ownership, money, this type of controls politics. We got to understand what politics are and politics are. So, again, look at politics opposed to politics. We have African-American president, whatever. You can call it black, whatever. But I'm going to do a separate one there on the 15th, 16th. We're talking about the 1/16th. We're going to talk about the 15th, 16th. We don't talk about them, see. Again, But again, you can't control what's already out there saying to report 90% negative news on black folk, African Americans, Negroes, whatever. Report 90%. That's out there. When I went to Stanford, this is what I read. I'm like, this is crazy stuff. But this is what's going on. You know, it's the news. It's 90% negative stuff. And you're going to talk a lot about the prisons, criminal. If you look at the news, they talk about who killed somebody and robbed somebody, did this. This is 80% of what they talk about. And they put your pictures, being in orange suits, whatever, this type of thing. I don't know where the orange color come from, but they say we're brighter in orange or whatever. But we opposed to the stripes. But they want some stripes to orange suits, and they want to look like zebras. So a lot of things is going on in the prison system. Yes, we commit crimes. Everybody commits crimes. Again, well, like she said about the president, about the representation court upon the attorneys averse the money lawyers. So this happens. But again, this is some of the solutions we got to get going to get out. I'm sure our kids don't go into this pipeline or this peculiar institution number two. So we got to be very careful and be very instrumental in what we're doing. Yeah, we got to have representation in Congress, mainly our state legislature is doing all this stuff. The federal government is doing as much as they can do. The president is not, he don't run the judicial branch. He just got the executive branch.
Okay, let's stop right there.
He's got to watch that he can do what he can do. So don't fault what's been there, because 51% of the people voted for him, and they were all the different races, whatever, different ethnicities. So we got to be careful. And again, I give everybody just due of what they can do and how much they can do. What their duties are like anybody else. As a legislative person, how much can you do? How, you know, what you put out there. Again, you got to protect your job, particularly you don't have any jobs. I mean, you don't own anything to hire anybody, so you got to be very careful again. And unemployment is not a very favorable thing. It runs you to the criminal justice system. That's what happens. Most of these kids go into the system because of unemployment, broken homes. Just look what's going on out there. Opportunities, leadership, and businesses. We have to, before we got too many churches, 144,000 churches we got. We need 144,000 minutes. We can hire some of these youth and get these youth off the street as much as possible. Again, it's getting what you want and begging for what you need.
Okay, we're going to have caller 8488, based upon what you heard so far, getting you a second chance to respond back to us. Go ahead, caller 8488.
Yeah, this.
I have a quick question, and this is based on the information we received last time, which the young lady said that twice as many women were going into the prison system. My question is, what are the particular, why are they going? What are they being incarcerated for? Could you elaborate on that for me?
Yes, I have looked at the prison system. Number one is basically shoplifting. Number two is assault, battery, robbery. They accompany sometimes their boyfriends or husbands for the robbery. They drive the car, this or that. And these are the things I'm looking at that they've been incarcerated for. Kidnapping, abandoning of children. Again, these are the main ones. Again, they go to stores, they shop. Shoplifting food, clothing for their children, basically. Either they have a break and entry, larceny, but these are the main things they're going in for, a lot of assault cases. And again, how they do basically is they go to school, they get into a school fight. And again, the police show that they're already there sometimes. They show up. They go in front of the judge again for assault, but they try to add these charges to them. And it happened to my sister, by the way. I was assault and battery charge in the eighth grade. And it was trying to, put attempted murder on her, all these different charges. We had, we got together, we got with the money. We took her out of the state of North Carolina. We took her out. Eighth grade now, talking about assault. And the young lady was a white girl that called her, black and called her acting the N-word. She said, "You don't call me that. You won yourself." And they got into it. The girl threw a potted plant at her. And she, hit the girl and everything up. And but what happened was they got it for premeditated assault, because the next day, my sister said, "I didn't do enough to her." She came in the next day. She said, I didn't beat you bad enough yesterday." She took the girl, hit the girl, drug her down the hall, put her head in the toilet. That was all, you know, premeditated. I'm like, what in the world? I was on the way to Vietnam, by the way. And I said, well, I flew down real fast. We got money together, took $5,000 to pay everybody off. And the judge was trying to do, you know, gave her 8 counts of this, that. We paid everything and got her out. And she went to Pennsylvania, went to Philadelphia, by the way.
Okay,
and my brother
stop
didn't
right
know
there, Emmanuel.
That's what show you what gold has kind of tried to put a loop. But this is how women get into trouble. And little fights, shoplifting, larceny, a robbery, accomplice. A lot of times they're accomplice. If you're in the car with your boy, if you know what he's involved in convenience store, you're in the car with him, you had nothing to do with it, they still make you an accomplice. Anytime they try to circle the wagons, they're trying to block up 2, 3, 4 people at a time. Most times the women are betting also drugs. Another one. They are betting with the boyfriend, stay with them, according to whatever. They catch them in the car, they get drugs, you go to jail too. So these are some of the crimes they get annotated with.
Okay, we're going to our last caller for the day. Coming back to our previous caller 4832. You can wrap up your response. What would you like to say based upon what you have heard to this program today?
All righty. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, caller. You're on air.
All right. It's just like what I said. We have no leadership. And people can say that the president can't do anything at the federal level. But if he can talk about medical care, he can talk about the plight of black people. He's been in there now for about 5 years and hadn't said a word about black plight in this America, which he should have been stating. But the other thing clearly is that we have no leadership. We have no leadership. Hold on. We have no leadership on the local level. We have no leadership on the state level. And we have no leadership on the federal level. If we did, since 1865, we would fare better than we are. That's all I have to say.
All right, caller, we'd like to thank you and all our callers and participants today on our program. We'll be dealing with the third part, dealing with solutions. You can reach us at 2 weeks from now, April the 13th, 12 noon, on Missing Pages of History. We'll be going to ask our guest today, Emmanuel, to make a closing statement. And then we have a few announcements we'd like to state to our audience, and we'll be seeing everybody on April the 13th at 12 noon. Emmanuel, your closing statement on this.
No, I think we're going to talk. Again, our future. We're going to talk about racial entitlements. We're going to talk about affirmative action. Really gets affirmative. Who gets the affirmatives? We're going to talk about leadership. We do have leadership, and has addressed quite a few places. For the SCLC, NAACP, some of the speeches you made was just phenomenal. And again, we don't know all the things that happens. Again, we try to represent all of America. You're talking about the 13% opposed to 87%. So, of course, you know, that's where you get your votes from. It's not, you know, that we got to deal with that. Understand the population, first of all. Got to understand that. And again, on where you can lead to the communities, again, is addressed to Willie Lynch letter. But the tell of everything about the prison system, again, is that we're getting fed to them a certain way. And again, like I said, again, we count beds in the fifth grade. We got to have permanent solutions. Leadership starts with the parents. So if you don't have if the parents aren't leading, then we're not going to have leadership. The parents have leadership. One man can't lead 312 million people. Let's deal with it. So my thing is that we have to become leaders. I'm a leader in my home. My parents were leaders. 12 of us, none of us smoke, none of us drink, none of us been to prison, all us college grads. That's fact. Because my parents were leaders. So we're going to need some of the solutions we're going to talk about because I experienced the leadership myself and how to do it. So the big thing is that, again, we're going to talk about the solutions. We're going to recap what we said today. But, again, we got to base everything on facts and not on one little area. Again, we contribute to the economy $980 billion. We recycle $50 billion. How do we keep in $500 billion within ourselves per se, just like the Jews do and everybody is attacking everybody else. Again, we got to get our offenses together. Who we are, and we're not Negroes. That's one thing we're not. That's a Spanish term. That's for Spanish people. Understand who you are.
Okay.
We got to stop you right there.
We got less than 20 seconds.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We want to inform our audience. We'd like to thank you. Thank you for your participation. Please dial in on April 13, 12 noon, same time, same station. And we'd like to thank all our supporters who recently participated in our first annual raffle drawing. We'd like to thank you. Until next time, we want you to remember that you've been listening to Missing Pages of History, and we are trying to build strong communities through communication. Until next time, we thank you. This has been a Missing Pages of History production. See you on April the 13th.